Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to the Serial Killer Podcast, the podcast dedicated to serial killers, who they were, what they did, and how. Episode 242. I am your humble host, Thomas Rosalind Vyborg Thun. Last episode, we finally concluded the chaotic and disturbing case of Charles Manson and his twisted so-called family. Having finished such an epic exposé with so many twists and turns, I thought it would be nice to get back to a classic TSK episode. Tonight, I bring to you, dear listener, a serial killer whose name is largely forgotten. He is by no means a serial killer superstar, but heaven knows he was just as depraved as the worst of them. This killer can be categorized as a classic insanity case. I am, of course, talking about Herbert Mullen, murderer of 13 innocent human beings. There is a case to be made for his insanity plea, but I do not buy the idea that just because you hear voices, then you listen to them. Evil is real. And in these coming episodes, we'll delve into his motivations, personality, and background. And of course, his crimes. Enjoy. This episode, like all other sagas told by me, would not be possible without my loyal Patreonies. They are Lisbeth, Lisa, Kathy, Corbin, Niao, Val, Madeline, Craig, the Duggletons, Jonathan, Cheryl, Brad, Manuel, Ayulin, and Rachel. You are truly the backbone of the Serial Killer Podcast, and without you, there would be no show. Patreon is updated with more ad-free episodes for my TSK Producers Club, and I also have a bonus episode I am quite happy with for my $10 plus club members. Very soon I plan to publish yet another film review, and I do believe you will enjoy it. So don't miss out, and head on over to patreon.com/theserialkillerpodcast now. Sweat stung Herb's eyes as he drove, each salty droplet anchoring him back to his corporeal self. Being the vanguard of a new generation was no simple task. To be a transcendent soul amidst the mire of earthly filth and confusion was perhaps the most daunting challenge one could undertake. But no one else seemed to grasp this truth. Even when he stooped to their level, using the language of flesh and bone rather than the silent universal telepathy that should unite all beings, they remained in the dark. Occasionally, he'd encounter a soul with a flicker of recognition, a momentary beacon of hope, only for it to be extinguished by their eventual retreat into the mundane. They would regress, losing sight of the divine essence that transcended this mortal coil, turning away from him as if his radiance might burn too bright for their eyes. Herb harbored no hatred for them. He had transcended such base emotions. Hate was for those still bound by the chains of ordinary existence, not for beings like himself, enlightened and luminous. He looked upon them with a blend of pity and sorrow, much like a master might view a pet that bites the hand that feeds it out of sheer ignorance. Their rejection stemmed not from malice, but from an inability to perceive the same spectrum of reality as he did. It wasn't their fault, not truly. The truth that lay beyond their comprehension were terrifying for those still ensnared by the decay of flesh. They turned away, not because the truth was false, but because accepting it would dismantle the comforting illusions their lives were built upon. They would have to abandon consumerism, greed, self-worship, and the obsession with the self. To acknowledge his vision would mean to relinquish the very foundations of their world. The very bedrock of society was laid with the trivialities of this world, and to remove those supports would see their castles crumble. Herb took no personal affront. Instead, he felt an overwhelming sorrow for them. His family, his friends, everyone from his past, even those he had studied alongside, had all reached their limits in understanding. His insights were too profound, a summit they could not scale. To Herb's mind, his parents were narrow in their outlook, intent on keeping him in the dark to preserve their own sense of dominance. When he approached them with the truth, they recoiled, attempting to confine him, silencing his voice and stripping his liberty. But nothing could deter him. He was resolute in his mission to reveal the truth to the world. He saw himself as the torchbearer for his generation, and despite their attempts to stifle him with ignorance, his wisdom had prevailed. He had seen through the deception they sought to cloak him with. Now, as an adult, he was wise not only in the way of this earth, but also in those of higher superior realms. When he spoke of hearing their thoughts, they scoffed, challenging his claims. Even when he repeated their exact thoughts back to them, they dismissed it as fabrication. It was obvious to anyone with half a brain that he could not invent such things when he was truly hearing their inner voices. He recalled his father's hidden pride, thinking that perhaps someday, when the moment was ripe, Herb could be the one to end his life. Yet outwardly, his parents remained steadfast in maintaining the status quo, both serving as agents of a system that suppressed the ascension of humanity, part of a network of skeptics that kept mankind tethered to the mundane. Even as they pondered aloud the marvel of Herb's growth, their spoken words belied their true thoughts, rejecting what they secretly admired. They were entranced in this corporeal existence, instruments of a society that sought to hinder his spiritual evolution. This was why they had always withheld what he needed, why they had threatened him with confinement and worse, when he pursued the substances that could expand his mind to commune with the universe's voice. But now, whether they recognized it or not, he was saving their lives. He was born for this very moment, destined to wield his understanding of the greater cosmos for a noble cause, humanity. They might not have faith in him, but he had faith in them. He knew that had the potential to transcend their current state, to become enlightened, to become ascendant spirits unshackled from the constraints of the flesh, realizing hates beyond their wildest dreams. The cosmos serenaded him in his dreams, and the whispers of the world imparted their wisdom upon waking. Every mind was an open book to him, revealing the secret truth that the slumbering masses would deny. He understood, without being explicitly told, how desperately people yearned for meaning and purpose in their superficial, aimless lives. Meanings and purpose that only he could bestow. He was their guide, and he would lead from the vanguard. He would tread the path to ascension, mastering the celestial gifts bestowed upon him. As he rose, so too would all rise with him, like a tide that lifts all boats. An ascending soul would illuminate all in its wake. Once they transcended the world of illusions and felt his thoughts resonate within them, there would be no more doubt, no more bewilderment. They simply needed to elevate just beyond their current entrapment to discover that the keys to their chains had always been in their grasp. All they needed was to hear him. His voice would lead them from shadow into light. Everything was so clear. There was no struggle, no confusion. Herb knew precisely what he was meant to do, because he was already doing it. He was attuned to the voice of the cosmos, guiding him from one location to the next, from one segment of the grand ritual that would save the world and usher in ascension to whatever other rituals awaited. An unenlightened mind would dismiss the vibrations coursing through his car as he raced through the Santa Cruz Mountains as a mere mechanical noise, a byproduct of the internal combustion engine. But Herb understood more deeply. He was part of the global consciousness, ascendant, and he knew that vibrations were the very pulse of existence. These vibrations did not originate from the car's engine or the roughness of the road. They were cries from the earth beneath the asphalt. The earth was screaming for vengeance, outraged by the exploitation and mutilation of its surface, all in service to human greed and convenience. Channels had been cut into Mother Earth's visage, sealed with hot tar, allowing these monstrous vehicles, fueled by the ancient remains of dinosaurs, to spread their toxic fumes, all for the profit of the already wealthy. Mother Earth was demanding retribution, thirsting for blood. She yearned for a cataclysmic event, and it could be granted with ease. Beneath the pavement and the soil, beneath the rocks, lay deep fault lines in California. A mere shrug from Mother Nature could send the entire state's population sliding into the ocean. She desired this. The universe willed it. California was teeming with those who had transgressed against nature, against Herb himself, denying him his rights and his ascent to greatness. People who would cling desperately to a world steeped in misery and suffering, when they could simply release their attachments and embrace a state of pure, unadulterated freedom. Despite these individuals' efforts to oppose him, to make themselves his adversaries, Herb refused to be drawn into enmity. He was beyond hatred, too enlightened for such baseness. Hate belonged to them, not to him. He chose the path of compassion, of heroism, over animosity. If left unchecked, Mother Nature would unleash her fury, potentially dooming all to death as towers of greed crumbled, ensnaring countless innocents in the Big Lie's aftermath. But with an enlightened soul like his in the world, there was an alternative. The earth need not convulse with rage, nor should the edifices of avarice collapse, leading to the indiscriminate death of the misled. They could be saved, and in extending their lives, Herb could offer them the opportunity to taste true liberation. In death, they would simply cycle into another existence, not advancing, not truly progressing, and snared again by the same illusions, the same distractions, the same errors. They would be condemned to repeat this cycle until they realized that this way of living was inherently flawed. that a spiritual journey was the only escape from the endless, mindless groove they had been digging through lifetimes. By keeping them in this world a little longer, by protecting them from the immediate demise, Herb could teach them, guide them towards ascension, allowing them to become what they were destined to be, what the cosmos intended them to be, which they were currently failing to achieve. Mother Nature required appeasement. He had to offer her blood, much like the ancient cultures did, recognizing her under various guises of gods and goddesses, but understanding that sacrifice was necessary to stave off her wrath. Her anger, palpable even now, was seething beneath the Earth's crust, knocking at the edges of his psyche. She was incensed at humanity's degeneration, furious at their shortcomings. In times past, when humanity acknowledged her might and offered sacrifices, her wrath was somewhat contained, occasionally claiming a city here or there. But if she were to unleash her long-ignored fury today, she might well purge the human race from her surface entirely. Herb was determined to prevent such a calamity. He had to hold back her anger until humanity could learn, grow, and evolve. He was uniquely attuned to her, the only one whose telepathy had expanded from the whispers of people to encompass the cries of the planet itself. The voice of the cosmos, while more remote, was drowned out by the world's urgent, deafening roar that came at him from all sides. The world was poised to kill. It was set to kill and kill without end. And no amount of money, technology, or the myriad of distractions mankind indulged in could halt her once she began. The only solution was for Herb to preempt the massacre. The drive had been long, but a voice still called to him, guiding him like a beacon. All he needed to do was follow this call, and he would find what was required to avert the forthcoming disasters. The universe was navigating his path. He could hear its guidance, feel it like a magnetic tug in his very bones. And then the beacon pierced through, slicing through the dim twilight of the material world, illuminating him with the voice that had been leading him there. There, by the roadside, wandering aimlessly, was a homeless man. Herb held no disdain for those who lived as nomads. He was, in a way, a nomad himself. He didn't believe that owning things like a house made one significant. Indeed, he thought that owning anything at all did not define one's importance. You were born with your luminous soul, endowed with grace or not. You couldn't purchase grace. Herb listened once more for the voice. It is me that you are looking for, the old man in his rearview mirror whispered telepathically, his inner voice as loud as if amplified by a microphone. It is me that you have been seeking to prevent the catastrophe. Herb pulled over to the side of the road, the homeless man still plodding towards him, just out of sight. This was exactly where he was supposed to be, doing exactly what he was meant to do. Finally, everything was falling into place. Finally, he could fulfill his purpose for being here. He needed to set a scene that would naturally draw the homeless man closer. Being in a car, he decided to feign car trouble. Simple and elegant. He got out, opened the bonnet, propped it up, stared into the engine compartment. The shapes and parts inside meant nothing to him. He didn't understand them. He knew the engine worked, but not how. He didn't know what he could claim was wrong with it. This was a matter of the material world, a trivial sign of wealth and status which he had no use for. Yet at this moment he wished for some knowledge to lie convincingly. Lying was contrary to his nature, but in a world of deceit there was little choice. Even though this man had summoned him telepathically, drawing him here for this crucial encounter, if Herb spoke of it, the man would deny it. He would claim he hadn't sent any telepathic message, that he didn't desire what his mind was screaming to Herb. These people, these poor souls, were so caught up in the material that they couldn't think clearly. They couldn't even acknowledge their own thoughts or the messages they were projecting. Living among lies had numbed them to truth, another tragedy Herb only recognized after his enlightenment, one that pained his soul every time he encountered it. It was profoundly unfair that people knew in their bare hearts what needed to happen, but could only express it telepathically, not with words. This confusion had overwhelmed Herb in the early days of his awakening as a leader of mankind. Now, the pain was like an old familiar companion, dulled by repetition. The man approached, still with the same dogged determination that had led him here, like a pilgrim on a sacred quest, his tired legs drawing him ever closer to destiny. Herb waited, staring into the enigmatic machinery he couldn't comprehend, a microcosm of the world where he stood, waiting not for mechanical enlightenment, but for the greater awakening of his higher purpose. It was like the beginning days when he was just discovering his cosmic role, waiting with an open mind for inspiration. Now it was so close he could almost taste it. He wasn't imagining the sound of footsteps on the gravel, or the persistent, pleading telepathic cries, "Do it! Please do it! It's the only way for the world to be safe. It is the only way to ensure mankind's future. Without you, we are all doomed. You must perform the ritual. You must appease the hungering earth. I beg you, do what you need to. It is my purpose to be here. It is my purpose to help you in fulfilling yours. You are the leader of this generation, the master of our soul." Herb's hands trembled as he gripped the car's grill, the vibrations passing through the now silent vehicle after he had turned off the engine. The man was nearing, observing with keen interest. Herb kept his gaze lowered. If their eyes met, his powerful telepathy might reveal too much. Despite the man's soul yearning to aid in saving the world, his conscious mind might not comprehend. Herb's thoughts were too potent, potentially seeping into the minds of these sensitive enough to detect them. The man's voice was distinct from his telepathic communication. The accent, the roughness, the cadence were all different. He spoke, "Having car trouble, friend?" With that word, friend, his fate was sealed. Herb knew this was the path to follow. He had been called a friend by a soul who knew, at least subconsciously, the importance of the moment. This man would willingly sacrifice his current cycle of life for the greater good, for Herb to teach and elevate others. That one word confirmed that despite the differences between telepathic signals and spoken words, events were unfolding as intended. The future was his to save, thanks to this new ally. The wandering pilgrim stood beside Herb, uninvited, peering into the car's shadowy depths. He sniffed the air, as if trying to diagnose the issue by scent alone. "Reckon it needs more oil. You got some?" he suggested. It was the perfect setup, the easiest way to proceed. Herb nodded, not acknowledging the spoken query, but responding to the telepathic plea echoing in his mind. Will you do it? Will you save the world? Will you make my purpose complete? Without a word, Herb moved to the trunk, opened it, and instead of retrieving oil, he pulled out a baseball bat, another symbol of the broken world, designed for a single pure purpose. It was wood, shaped by steel, not by the loving hands of a craftsman, but by the uncaring machine, another reflection of the world's ills. But in Herb's hands, this bat would rectify wrongs, soothe the earth's trembling heart. Herb circled the car, bat concealed at his waist, just as he had been hidden until this pivotal moment. The revelation, the sacrifice, the bloodletting would soon follow, bringing peace to the world's core. He did this because it was his ordained path, and the pilgrim's voice still whispered in his mind. I am a temporary vessel for a fragment of the divine, and by setting me free, you are saving millions of lives. There need be no shame in this, no sorrow, because my life was always going to end here, by the side of this road. I have traveled long and hard to reach this sacred site, this holy land, where I shall meet the instrument of divinity and perform my part. Free me from this mortal form, Herb, I beg you. You are the only one who can set me free, the only one that can save mankind. You are our leader, our master, our savior. Praise you. Praise be to you, Herb Mellon, for you are the chosen one who will save us all. You are the most beloved of the cosmos, born sacred. The pilgrim remained engrossed with the car's engine, murmuring, Don't look like the radiator's overheating. Physical feats were once Herb's forte, but he now believed strength of arms was a flaw, not a virtue. In this moment, he was endowed with the power he needed from above. As bat met skull, the sound was like thunder echoing across the deserted hillside, signaling the moment the world would be saved. There. Those were the musings and inner workings of Herbert Mellon as he committed one of his many murders. I hope you, dear listener, can forgive the theatrics, but I found it important to convey the magnitude of his mental instability. And with that, we come to the end of part one in this series covering a man I choose to call the Earthquake Killer, Herbert Mellon. Next episode, we'll continue his saga. So, as they say in the land of radio, stay tuned.